is the word of the Lord.
The season of Advent always begins in the Old Testament as God's people are waiting for the promised Messiah. Our scripture lesson this morning finds the people of God about to lose everything. They can see it. The enemies are amassed on the horizon. And Isaiah speaks, he sees a vision of God's deliverance in the future. But he announces it as something having already taken place. So listen for the hope of God in the dark of night, spoken to the people of God through Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onwards and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Thanks be to God for the reading and hearing of his word today. Cynthia and I were shopping for an Advent wreath yesterday, which is really rather last minute, like going out on Christmas Eve and trying to buy your Christmas gifts. We'd gone to the great craft store across the street, Hobby Lobby, and it became clear to me pretty quickly that very few people know what Advent is anymore. We had looked around and couldn't find a wreath. I finally found the teenage clerk, and I asked her. I said, I'm looking for an Advent wreath frame. It's wrought iron. It has places for four candles. And she squinted her eyes. She lodged on the word wreath. She says, does that have something to do with Christmas? And looked through the Christmas aisles. She found the manager, who knew right away what an Advent wreath was, but told me they were clean out. So we went and found four little candlesticks and an artificial wreath. We made sure that we could push the candlesticks through the wreath, bought our purple and pink candles, and checked out. The clerk asked if we could find everything. I said, yeah, we found everything that you had. And Cynthia said, but you didn't have any Advent wreaths. And the clerk said, well, what is Advent anyway? So I gave her the technical answer. It's the four Sundays before Christmas and all the days in between. But I missed the opportunity to give her the meaningful answer. Advent is the season that we anticipate celebrating the birth of Jesus, the light of the world. Have you ever noticed how Christmas falls in the week of the greatest darkness of the year in the Northern Hemisphere? December 21st is the winter solstice, the shortest day, the longest night. So it's easy to see Advent through the lens of light and darkness. Jesus is the bonfire of God, set ablaze in the midst of our dark world to show us the way home. God made us to live in light, in the light of his presence. The opening pages of Scripture are full of images of light. God separating light from darkness in creation. God setting the first humans in this magnificent garden fed by light. And God dwelling there with Adam and Eve, bringing the light of God's presence with them. And God alone carried the weight of the knowledge of evil. He carried that great burden of darkness for us. But everything changed. You may have noticed that. And we now dwell in a darkness of our own making. You recall in that story how Satan came and tempted Adam and Eve, suggesting that they didn't really need God. They could become like God if they too knew the knowledge of evil, the knowledge of good and evil, its difference. And so desiring to be like God, desiring to no longer have to rely on God, desiring to be on their own, they ate the fruit and plunged us into darkness, the darkness of being separated from the God who made us. And it is a dark, dark world indeed. Maybe that's why the creation story is told the way it is, a story we can relate to from our own experiences. Because we know what it's like to come up against something that we want, something we desire like Adam and Eve. And all of the wisdom inside of us and outside of us tells us, stay away, don't go there. This won't end well. And like Adam and Eve, we say to ourselves, I think I know better. I think I can have my cake and eat it too. I think I can make all this work. Or at the very least, no one will know. And so we bite the apple. We push God away. We plunge ourselves into a darkness of our own making. And the chaos and the pain, the fallout, the shame, the confusion, the uncertainty of what we've created could be known no better than groping in the dark. A darkness of our own making. We have no idea how to fix this, how to find a way forward, how to redeem what we've done. We've let the wind blow out the light of God's presence with us. I bet you've been on a tour of a cave, right? Raise your hand if you've ever been on a cave tour. I don't think I've ever been on a cave tour where they have not loved to turn out the lights when you're down in the deepest parts of the cave. Have you noticed that? They love to do that. It's kind of like a spelunking sermon in which they tell us, you think you know darkness? This is what darkness is really like. Your eyes will never adjust because there is no light to adjust to. Not a single ray of light there below the earth. And if they were to leave you there in the dark, you would feel rather desperate. There'd be no way to help yourself find the way out. We can't help ourselves find the way out of the darkness we've created. Now, if we had a box of matches down there in the cave, we could strike a match. And we would see, oh, there you are. Oh, here's where I am in the cave. I can see the way out. But that match goes out soon, and we just have burnt fingers. And we're still in the dark. In the darkness of the world that we've created, people keep telling themselves they can find the way out. They put their hope in this match or that match as a way to lead them out. Now, it wasn't really an apple that Adam and Eve ate, so there's no aspersions against Macintosh or Granny Smith's apples. But isn't it interesting that the logo for the Apple computer company is an apple with a bite taken out of it? As if to boldly say, we don't need God. Technology will save us. We can lead the way out. I have no idea if that's what their logo is meant to mean. It's certainly what comes to mind for me. But I still buy Apple products. No matter what hope people run to, it is no more than a match in the belly of Carlsbad's cavern. It's going to go out. It won't be enough. Israel found themselves deep in the cave of despair. And they were all out of matches. They had rejected the Lord as their king again and again. And now their enemies were amassing on the horizon. They had their North Korean missiles pointed toward them. The end was in sight. There was no way out. But Isaiah sees a light on the horizon. It is a light that is not their own. It is a help from outside themselves. It is God coming to the rescue in a Messiah. And so he announces the light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who've lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined because a child has been born, a son given to us. And now all authority rests on him, and he can show us the way out. Jesus was that light Isaiah saw, born into human darkness, into the darkness of Herod's reign. Remember Herod? He jealously killed all the infant boys of Bethlehem in an attempt to extinguish the light. Jesus was born in the darkness of Roman occupation. Remember Rome? They crucified 2,000 Jews along a road as a warning against rebellion. He was born into the darkness of your story and my story. And Jesus walked into this world like no other man. His words made sense of the darkness. His miracles flashed with the brilliance of a divine light like signal flares in the dark. He brought to us the light of God's presence we had not seen since Eden. And he shows us the way back to God. He alone can lead us out of this present darkness. The season of Advent is a time of waiting, waiting with Israel in the dark, waiting to remember the birth of Jesus, the light of the world. It's a season of waiting that requires attentiveness to notice the sign of the light of Christ coming. Jan Richardson, who's one of my favorite authors, has written a whole collection of Advent readings, and she has a reading that's perfect for today about keeping our eyes on the horizon for the light of his coming. The season of Advent means there is something on the horizon, the likes of which we have never seen before. It is not possible to keep it from coming, because it will. That's just how Advent works. What is possible is to not see it, to miss it, to turn just as it brushes past you. And you begin to grasp what it was you missed, like Moses in the cleft of the rock watching God's hindquarters fade in the distance. So stay. Sit, linger, tarry, ponder, wait, behold, wonder. There will be time enough for running, for rushing, for worrying, for pushing. For now, stay, wait. Something is on the horizon. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you that you are never overcome by darkness. Even the darkest night is as bright as day to you. Thank you that as we walk with you, seeking your divine presence in our lives, this darkness we presently feel will dissipate. And the night around us will become like day again. Thank you that you promise us that we will shine again. As you transform our lives and deliver us from these present challenges, rather than being overwhelmed and destroyed, these challenges will be the making of us. We will become stronger in a brighter light for your glory. Cleanse us of all darkness and bring us into the light of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.